You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton three!
Yeah!
Goal! Get it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast that provides the fans' point of view on all things Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Commins, and I'm here with my fellow Cobblers fans, Danny Brothers, Chessy Coleman, Neil Edgerton, and Michael Owen.
Go on.
Hey everyone, Michael Owen here. Just want to say good luck to the Cobblers. Take care.
Take care, Michael. Take care.
Take care.
It is the take care that makes it the best bit, isn't it?
It's amazing.
It's the take care and the little thing he does with his hand, with his phone in his hand as well. Take care.
Take care. Take care. Is there anything ever been more surreal than that video message received?
Shaquille O'Neal would be the only other one.
Kelvin Thomas Cobblers.
What was that?
Shaquille.
That's what Shaq sang, wasn't it?
Oh, is that what he sang?
That's what Shaq sang, yeah. Kelvin Thomas Cobblers.
Brilliant.
Or it might have even been Kelvin Thomas Champions, I think he might have sung.
It's almost more surreal being Michael Owen. I don't know why.
Yeah, because he's got no connection with the club whatsoever, as far as I'm aware of. So I don't know.
By the way,
I don't know.
To give him his due, it's probably the most charisma I've ever seen him show, Michael Owen.
It's true, he gets a bad rap, doesn't he? But look at that.
He's not the most charismatic, is he?
More
but
of that,
he was
Michael.
Excited.
Come on.
Well, I don't know whether you saw this, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody did reply to the video that was on, I think on Twitter, saying, oh, there's the January transfer window budget all spent on a cameo.
A cameo.
But, you know, we at the pod, we can't let things like that go. We have to obviously do silliness.
Hey, everyone. Neil Edgerton here. Just want to say good luck to the Cobblers. Take care.
Well done, Neil.
It was brilliantly toned as well. I enjoyed that.
It was just so good. I enjoyed it.
Maybe
so,
we should
so
do one
much.
To Michael Owen's family and just say, like, hi, Owens. Just wanted to say Merry Christmas from It's All Cobblers to me. Take care.
We should do
take
one.
Care.
Get him in. Crying out loud.
That's brilliant.
Imagine Tyrese learning off Michael. Maybe Michael Owen's about to become the new assistant manager and Tyrese is just going to suddenly find his scoring boots.
I'm pretty sure after a session with Tyrese, Michael would quit. Not doing this. Get me back to my horses.
Do you remember Michael Owen's soccer school, the TV show?
Yes.
Do you remember? Do you remember how he celebrated wildly again, scoring against that 9-year-old in the Adam goal?
Yeah.
Every time. Anyway, that's enough being mean to Tyrese Simpson. He came on at the weekend and he had a part to play.
A major part.
I'm led to believe. Carlisle United 2 Northampton Town 2.
Desmond.
There you go. It was a Desmond indeed. I didn't get to watch the game at all. I was too busy being a radio superstar on the BBC. Squad goals, 2:55 p.m. every Saturday. I appreciate most of you will be watching or listening to the Cobblers game. But you can go back and listen to it again on BBC Sounds. Why not?
I'm not going to do that, Charles.
All right. Cheers, Neil. Thanks.
You're welcome. When the Cobblers score, when you're on squad goals, are you allowed to do like a reaction or do you have to keep it?
Yes. Yeah,
you can. You're allowed to jump up and down and take your shirt off and stuff.
My reaction to the equaliser, I'm really worried that it's going to come out on social media at some point because I did go a little bit mad, jumping up and down, pointing my...
Oh.
What's it called? Is it a dab? Is that what they call it?
Dab.
The dab?
You dabbed.
Blimey.
Did a bit of a dab.
Well, that needs to come out.
What else did I do? I did...
the floss?
I did some incredible moves. I can't floss, Neil. I've not got the hand-eye-hip coordination, unfortunately.
I think dabbing was a good few years ago, so I figured maybe you were doing retro celebrations. Did you do the Roger Miller by the corner flag?
I should have done, shouldn't I?
We need more of that, by the way. Look, I don't remember any Cobblers players, many, having like signature celebrations. Hoskins has got his
I think
at the minute,
you're
hasn't
mistaken
he?
There, Danny, after this weekend. Right.
We'll come on to that later. This is true, and we'll come on to that probably. But we need more Cobblers players to have their own special celebrations, like the Lee Sharp.
You know, I'd like to see a coordinated celebration like they do in NFL. The Dolphins the other week, they scored a touchdown and then recreated as if they were all on a roller coaster.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And remember that football one where they, I can't remember which team it was, it might have been in Norway or something, where they scored a goal.
It's
and
the
then
Fish.
The Fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, we need some stuff like that. A challenge to the Cobblers squad.
Oh, please. A team-based choreographed celebration would be beautiful. Ian Wright's, what did Ian
Wright
do?
So you know the week after Paul Alcock, the referee got pushed over by Paolo Di Canio, Ian Wright scored for West Ham and they've recreated it and he's just in this over the top falling over after being pushed.
Who was the Liverpool player that sniffed the line? Do you remember?
That was Fowler, wasn't it?
Robbie Fowler. That was in the derby, wasn't it? That was in the Merseyside derby as well. Yeah, I think so. Caused quite a stir. The Jimmy Bullard one for Hull, where was it the week after Phil Brown had them in the centre circle or, you know, on the pitch in a circle at half time and given them a ticking off wagging of his finger and the whole team got back and Jimmy Bullard did it to them, which was
Scott McLeish's was good.
Oh, the eye poke.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
But Scott McLeish also had his own little signature one, didn't he, as well? He did the flip.
Yeah.
His flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Bayo's one that he never told us what it was about?
Yeah.
The one where he sort of put his arm up in the air and then dropped his hand down a little bit.
Yeah.
And sort of then bobbed. I'm sure he said that he would reveal what that was all about at some point, but never did.
We could we could contact him and continue to get ghosted by him.
Yeah,
I'd love to see like a Northampton based celebration that we just do one time. Like all the players gather round, someone is off to the
side.
Someone else like goes and gives them 50p, and then goes and.
Do you know what I'd like to see them do? I'd like to see them one of them, you know, sort of swing as if they're a monkey.
Yes!
In the window of the shoe shop.
Get that in there.
I'd quite like to see Sam.
We might need to explain that one before we move on. Some people are like, "What? What are you talking about?"
The shoe shop. We've talked about it before.
It's in the
museum
now, isn't it?
Right. Swinging monkey was always in the window of the shop. Was it in the Grosvenor Centre or just on
the
outside?
On Abington Street, wasn't it?
Yeah, Abington Street.
On Abington Street.
My final one on that is I would like to see Sam Hoskins abseil down Tyrese Simpson.
Still waiting for Aaron McGowan to abseil down the lift tower.
That's a good point.
Shocking. Tim Oglethorpe went through with his daftness, didn't he, with his tattoo? Aaron, if you're listening, what are you doing?
No, it's legal reasons.
Get down that lift tower. Legal reasons.
Legal reasons why they can't do it, apparently.
Boo. That's what I have to say on that. Okay, let's talk about the game. Carlisle versus the Cobblers. The Cobblers were unchanged for, what's this, the third game in a row now, where we hadn't made a single change, but the Labrador was out with a knock. John Brady refused to give any more information on it other than that. And Aaron McGowan came back onto the bench, didn't he, for this game. But apart from that, that was it. No changes. Same again, please, boys. And to be honest, I mean, as I said, I wasn't watching, but the fact that we went 1-0 up made me think it is just the same again. We're carrying on. This is going to be a good day. But
well, you're wrong.
I was wrong by the sounds of it.
You were, Charles.
Fill me in, Neil. Fill me in.
I'm always happy to fill you in. So the the performance was not great.
Okay.
I don't think. I think there was... I don't know what it was. You know, sometimes you get those games where it just feels a little bit like the passing is just a little bit off and everything's just a little bit off skew, if that makes sense. It felt like that. They were still trying. They were still putting all their effort in and everything. There was no question on that front. Just felt a little bit like nothing was quite working. We were panicking in the final third up until the equaliser. We were panicking and we hadn't played much football, which is strange for us. The first real bit of quality football was the goal, the Bowie goal. Just felt like we were a bit all over the place. Not necessarily. Look, it wasn't disastrous or anything like that. We weren't completely outplayed. It just, considering the usual standards, we weren't quite at it.
I mean, I thought, having watched the highlights back, I think McWilliams' goal was a lovely piece of play. The ball round the corner from Bowie,
that's a good point.
And chase on to. That was very good. But, you know, you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the highlights and you're not going to get everything shown in there. Mainly, I think the ones that I saw, it was just the goals and there was no other chances shown, I don't think. But you don't think, Danny, that we were at our normal sort of controlling possession best?
Yeah, I did in the first half, actually. I disagree with Neil a little bit. I thought we were quite controlling in terms of that for the most of the first half. I thought we were pretty comfortable in possession. I didn't want to say it to anyone because I didn't want the inevitable to happen, which eventually did. The game
Danny
completely
was looking at the
league
table from the second.
We were 10th at one point. I actually thought we were on top and we were the second half was how I expected Carlisle to come out at us in the first half, given everything that happened this week with Paul Simpson coming out and giving the statement and Gene and all up and stuff. I generally thought they were going to come out and be right on top of us and pressing us from the start. But we actually were finding loads of space in the first half and I thought we were playing a really decent game, enjoyed the goal. And I got the feeling that we might just carry that on in the second half. But what eventually happened was we ended up playing Carlisle's game and not our own. And Carlisle just pushed us back into the way that they wanted us to play. They've got in our faces. They've harried us. We've made sloppy passes. We just went all over the place in the second half. And it felt like the goals were coming. You could just tell the goals were going to happen eventually. They've had one search, haven't they, from the left that Thompson's tipped over that was similar to the goal that eventually happened. But I just thought we played into their hands a little bit second half. We needed to just stick to what we were doing and try and control possession. And I think sometimes we are guilty of when a team changes their pace and their intensity of a game, we sometimes get drawn into it too much and we don't press them and sort of try and take control of it ourselves. And that's one of the things we probably need to learn a little bit more when we're coming up against teams that are going to come at us and suddenly change their momentum, because we just don't seem to catch up as well as we could do when teams come like that at us. But I just thought the game was lost once Carlisle took the lead, but thankfully we've pulled it out and they've got to say something about us coming back into it and grabbing an equaliser when we've not played very, very well. But in general, I thought first half was decent. Second half, we just looked all over the place. But great to get the point at the end.
Yeah, I think that it shows something about the fact that we have managed to get something out of the game from a losing position in the end, albeit that we took the lead and you'd hope that we'd go on and add to that tally. And quite often this season, I've thought that when we've gone ahead, that's actually been the point where we start playing better and the confidence kind of comes through and everybody is suddenly going, right, we've got a little bit of a cushion of that being a goal ahead. We can now really go and implement the game plan and how we want to play and try and impose ourselves on the game and on the opposition. But clearly that didn't happen. Chezzy, talking about the equaliser, John Brady in his post-match interview, which happened incredibly quickly after the final whistle, I felt. I understand the reason was that they want to get back on the coach as soon as possible. It's a long old drive from Carlisle back to Northampton and it's dark and, you know, everybody wants to get home as quick as they can. So they come and do the media stuff as soon as they possibly...
The fact it was dark.
I did, yes. It was dark and therefore people wanted to get home. I'm glad you picked that up. Thanks, mate.
You're welcome.
John Brady seemed a bit scathing of Max Thompson's lack of saving it, essentially, and he felt like it should have been saved, that game.
Do you mean the goal?
Yeah, the goal, sorry. Yeah, and it should have been saved. But both Jake Sharp and Martin Smith didn't agree with that. I was wondering what your viewpoint of it was. Should he have saved
it? Are we talking about, apologies, I can't remember.
The first about the, goal, which was a cross, basically.
The cross come shot. Yeah. Well, when I saw the replay, I looked at it and actually me and Sean were sat watching the highlights together, the highlight reel, sorry, of the game. You know, can you watch the game back? So when we watched that, we both watched it and thought, oh, okay, there's not a lot you can do about that. And then when we watched the replay, we thought, oh, maybe he could have saved it. But I think the bigger picture there is, yes, okay, he could have saved it. But the bigger picture is we were so horribly exposed on that side at that moment in time. That channel was being completely utilised by Carlisle and not shut down enough by us. We were really horribly exposed for a lot of that time. And it, like Danny and Neil have both alluded to, it was coming. You know, you could see it a mile off. And they just sat back. And for even that shot to be allowed to be taken is more of a concern, I think, as the fact that it wasn't saved. Because I think if you're having to, on glance, both your journalists and people that are sat at home are having to look at the replay before they say, oh yeah, Thompson could have saved that. I think you've got to look a bit further back. And I know I'm quite defensive and protective of Max Thompson because he's young, but we do also have to pick up where fault is. Of course we do, because that's how he's going to learn. But I think actually if you were to do that, I think it'd be a bit of a disservice on the basis that it wasn't a glaring error. It wasn't like he ran out against Portsmouth. It wasn't like that. It was simply that they were exposed. There was no defender in front of him to help him. He was a little bit off of his line and it was a shot cross. So there's a lot of mitigating factors, but my concern is further back that channel, he'd ran a long way for a start.
Yeah. I can see that. And I think that's always the thing, isn't it? That you can go back in the phases or you know, in the build-up to any goal and probably say that actually that's the point that it should have been stopped beforehand. Personally, I thought it was a bit, having seen it on the replays afterwards, on highlights, I thought it was harsh. But Thompson has a tendency, I think, to come off his goal line quite quickly. And, you know, we've seen it a number of times where he's, you know, been very close to actually, if he hasn't got the ball, he's in danger of getting himself sent off, I think, at times when he comes out to try and clear away a loose ball that's coming, you know, behind our back line.
I know Jeffrey has his back, Max Thompson. I don't particularly think he's a very good goalkeeper, personally.
Really?
Not particularly. I don't feel comfortable or confident with him. He makes the odd good stop, which you could argue is his job. And I know he's young and he's still learning and stuff, But I don't know. I just feels a bit tentative at times coming off his line. I just don't feel comfortable. I know Burge was having mistakes in games anyway before he was injured. I'd be surprised. Thompson's only here until January, isn't he? I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he stays.
I think it's one of those, isn't it, where it's he's played a lot more football than anyone would have expected.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I mean, the issue is that if Thompson goes back, then we need to get another goalkeeper in, right? Because clearly the thinking is that James Dadge isn't ready. So, and, you know, he's been out on loan, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went out again once he's back fit, because I think he got an injury, didn't he, recently?
Yeah.
So I don't, it's one of those situations. We've currently got him here. So extending that loan and that deal probably would be easier than going out and trying to find somebody else. So I wouldn't expect, and plus you've got to look at the financial side of it as well. He's probably not on very much in terms of what we're paying as a contribution to his wage. So therefore, you know, going and getting another keeper, I mean, unless you're going and you're looking to replace Burge.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere and looking to do anything, Charles, because I have no say in it.
No, I didn't mean you. Oh. I meant the Cobblers. But, I mean, I know it's difficult, isn't it? Because when you go out and this any position, any player, but you should really be always looking to go and get better than what you've currently got, is my belief and my feeling. So therefore, Burge is the number one when he's fit. So if you're going to go out and get another keeper now, then you want to get a keeper that's better than Burge. And I don't think we necessarily, I don't want to say we don't have the finances for that. I just think that the finances are probably better spent elsewhere at the moment.
Yeah, I think if you're going to try and prioritise anything in the window, I think the goalkeeping situation is probably least of our worries in comparison to needing to address the strike situation. Because yes, we've got Apoure, yes, we've got Hoskins, yes, we've got Bowie, but we need to send Simpson back to Huddersfield because it has not worked. And we need to invest in a striker that is going to give us a goal return and not just take money from us. And I don't mean that in like a take away money, but in fact of actually we're losing money and not getting a return on it in terms of any kind of goals. So we need to address that.
I think we're going to be very disappointed, you know, in January. Ooh. in the Tyree Simpson part of the whole thing. I think he's I think he'll be here for the season.
I'm gonna jump in and try and defend I'm not gonna defend him again, but
go on, Danny. Write a blog.
Go on, Danny.
For the 5 minutes that he came on,
no,
I thought he showed quite a lot of good intent on Saturday.
Hey, look, we wouldn't have if Tyrese hadn't been in the position he was in, we wouldn't have scored the equaliser.
Exactly. But he showed like he wanted to be there, I thought, again. Maybe like if we keep him as an impact sub, I feel like it's a lot better than keeping him as a, you know, definite backup if someone's injured, because that's obviously not the case with him. He's not going to be the number one. No, he's not going to be the number nine who's going to be there. And if somebody gets injured, he's going to be straight in there. But as an impact sub, he is possibly better because the fan base are probably treating him at this point like a little bit of a cult hero in some ways.
Well, you are.
Danny Hilton got to that point, didn't he? But by the end of last season, he's more of a cult figure than he was a, you know, he's going to score goals for us.
Yeah, I think we're retracting from actually a fairly successful couple of weeks. And I think trying to address what will happen in January is a bit of a disservice, actually, to how well we've done in the last few weeks. Because
I think personally for January, the thing that I would like to see is to go and get a number 10.
Yeah.
So somebody that is a backup essentially to Mark Leonard, so that therefore we're not having to fit the square peg of Mitch Pinnock into that round hole again. Because since Pins has gone back out on the wing, he's been
so much better. You know,
exactly what we expect from him. Whereas when he's in that number 10, it just doesn't quite work. And there are better players for that position. in our squad, not just i.e. Mark Leonard, but obviously out there as well in different clubs and things. And you know, I just think that that's probably the place that we need to strengthen the most going into January. January's hard, right? Because it's the window where clubs go and essentially they have to overspend on players because the parent club, the original owner of the player, they're not going to accept peanuts, because it's not just about letting that player go. It's also about making sure they can then go and get a replacement. The market is just inflated. And so it isn't necessarily the right place or the right time to go and get, a replacement, for example, especially as a striker, because you're going to have to probably pay over the odds for that player. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know that, because of the fact that they talk about it quite a lot, the transfer windows don't just come along and then all of a sudden, it's not like when you're playing Football Manager or like I do, which is that, it's January the 1st. Right, let's go and have a look what I can do. It's obviously recruitment is going on all the way through the year. They're probably already planning for next season now in terms of, the players that they're going to be looking at keeping and offering new contracts to and who they would like to bring in from outside of the club as well. There will maybe be players on their list that become available during January that they might be able to go and get 6 months earlier, essentially, than what they were planning. But I wouldn't, from my point of view, I'm not holding my breath and thinking Simpson will be returned to Huddersfield and then we'll go and get another striker in, especially with the way that we have been playing and how things have been going.
It's very positive, isn't it, generally?
It is positive.
We lost our way quite a bit on Saturday. I think I don't really agree with Danny. I don't think we had a huge amount of control on the game. That's the beauty of it, though.
In the first half, I think we did.
Yeah,
I
don't even think the first half we did. I think we had the conditions in our favour. I know the conditions are both for the same team, but we were very much in favour, and I think we used it well. But I think we've been far stronger in matches, and we've had teams that are in and around the area in which Carlisle are, and we've destroyed them slightly easier. I think we were a bit too tentative. I think we were a little bit too sloppy with our passing again, particularly second half. I don't think it was as poor first half, but actually on the whole, if you can get a point at Carlisle, but then concentrate on making sure you're winning your home games and just having a strong Christmas period, I think that we are doing a far better job than, firstly, I think the club itself from the external areas gets credit for. And actually, sometimes maybe we realise and appreciate, I think we're actually living through quite a pivotal part in terms of our league status for the football club. And if we can sustain that more long term, I think that's a really, really positive thing, because actually if we are where we are at Christmas and we can push on, that's absolutely fantastic. What we've just done at the moment is given ourselves a huge amount of breathing space just to effectively steady a ship in this first year. And that's really can't be underestimated.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it was mentioned by Tim Oglethorpe, I think, on the radio after the game that, this was, we're now 11 points ahead of the relegation zone. So we're clear by 11 points. So we've gained an extra point on that. I don't know if that's the right terminology to use. We're 10 points still off of the playoffs. So we've not lost ground, on that side of things. Whereas if we had ended up... Sorry, Neil.
Can I pick up on something?
You can pick up anything as long as you're strong enough.
Not very strong. I had the pleasure of listening to the home commentary via iFollow for the Carlisle game. And something they said made me sort of sit and think, we've come quite a far way here. Well, we obviously have, because Carlisle's a trek. But in terms of the football club... And how we are at the moment. So they were, number one, they were really, really impressed by Sean McWilliams. They they said during the commentary, if they could pluck one player out of our team, it wouldn't be Hoskins, it would be Sean McWilliams.
Did they say it wouldn't be Hoskins? Or,
yes.
Okay.
His exact words were, it wouldn't be Sam Hoskins, their leading scorer, it would be Sean McWilliams.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting. The other thing they said, which was, it was either when it was 2-1, I think it was when it was 2-2. It was after they'd conceded and we'd equalised. They were saying, this has to be the benchmark for Carlisle now. This is how they need to perform for the rest of the season, and how they haven't performed at that level for all of the season so far, essentially saying it was their best performance.
That's interesting.
So that they've elevated their game, essentially, for the game against us on Saturday. Ours was a bit below par. Look, it wasn't atrocious or anything, but it was below what we're used to and the standards we set. Yet we're still drawn. So I thought that they were very complimentary in terms of saying Northampton are a very good team and stuff. And sometimes when you hear it from outsiders, and when they're saying things like that, because I thought, a bit frustrated that our performance wasn't great, but we've still come away with a point, and we've probably performed a little bit below par. They've performed over. They came up at the same time as us, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is it, isn't it? The only real difference is that they came up a month later, didn't they, after winning the playoffs? So they maybe had less time to prepare for this season. But and I think we were already ahead of Carlisle.
Yes,
in terms of how good we are as a team. But that is interesting. And I think that actually one thing that maybe you could take from that is that Carlisle obviously said, well, I think if we'd gone back and played this game maybe 2 months ago, we would have seen this as, and I know Danny still does, you know, seen this as a must not lose game, because it's going to be against, or it was against, the team that is also main objective is to stay in League One for more than just this one season. So therefore you don't want to lose those games, and anything that you can pick up from the games where you're playing like your derbies and your Portsmouths, etc., are kind of bonus points almost, which I think is a point that Chezzy's made before on the pod. Carlisle will have seen it in that way and have gone, well, this is a team that came up last season from League Two that we were at, because I think, did we win and then draw last season with them? I know we won the home game, didn't we?
We drew 0-0, didn't we, the away game, right near the end of the season.
Was that the 0-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, they will have been looking at it and going, well, this is one of those games that we kind of need to win. We're at home, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, raising their game. I'm maybe not surprised that that happened. I think it's something towards us is that maybe because of how well we've done over the last few weeks, did subconsciously, was there something there that was a bit too big for our boots, almost? Not arrogant, but just, you know, well, we're 12th, you know, we should beat these, and we should, you know, we don't necessarily need to play, you know, 10 out of 10 to be able to go and win. But another, again, John Brady said, I think in his post-match, every game in this division, you need to be on it in order to go out there and actually win the game. So it's, I wonder if there's a little bit of a psychology part to it, in the respect that we were below par and Carlisle came, you know, into that game being a bit more up for it, I guess.
I think
you raise their game.
I think that's an absolute valid point. But the one thing I also would say that is really frustrating from the outside in, and we talked about this off air earlier, myself and Danny and Neil, and it's the fact that they are so frustratingly patient with themselves, and for the fans it's agonizing, but it's almost like they go out and they go, well, we know we can get something from this game, so we just stick to our philosophy. We know what we're doing, we know what our game is. If we're not in the game, we know we can hold out, and we know eventually somewhere someone's going to pop up, we'll break, we'll grab something loose in midfield, and we'll run with it, and we'll get a goal. And that's kind of the theme of the season a lot of the time. If I think back to like the Lincoln game, the Cheltenham game, even to arguably the Exeter game, because the Exeter game, we were very much in control, but we were under pressure. And then suddenly we just broke and then it definitely got the 3 points. So it's games like that where even if they're draws, they have patience and they know and they believe that they can get back into games. And that's quite an important part of psychology, because we know that football has developed massively in the last few decades. And it's not just about the game now. It's all about the psychology behind it. It's all about the players and how much their self-esteem is in terms of playing under a certain management style. And Brady seems to have got hold of this team and been able to give them that kind of confidence that comes from their own ability. They know that they can do it. They knew yesterday that they were a better side than Carlisle, potentially not on the day, but they knew eventually they'd be able to break them down. And it was just about holding out. And we've done that a lot this season.
Yeah. Okay, right. We'll take a break there. Thank you for listening. After the break, we're going to read out your three-word reviews. But while you're listening to the ads, why not take a look at all the extra stuff you get when you sign up to support the podcast at patreon.com/cobblers2me. Right now, we're releasing our 12 pods of Christmas with a new podcast every day, all the way through until, when is it, Danny? When's
Boxing
the last
Day
one?
Boxing Day is the last one.
Boxing Day. Lovely. You can get a 7-day free trial to hear all of that at patreon.com/cobblers2me. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. It's time to turn to Twitter now and read some of your three-word reviews.
Hey Nathan, what time is it?
It's time for the three-word reviews, Jamie.
Really?
What have you got this week, Charles?
Thank you, boys. This week, there's lots and lots and lots of them to go through, which is lovely. I'm going to start here because we didn't get to talk about it before. Yes, said Roly Poly Delight.
The annual Mitch Pinnock aerobics competition is in full force.
Well, do you think he's limbering up for Christmas?
Getting ready for the Christmas party. It was
Christmas dinner, more like.
It was Stevenage last year, wasn't it? The cartwheel that went squiff.
This was perfectly executed, though. The technique.
This was a lovely
technique,
yeah. This was 10 out of 10, this one.
I enjoyed it immensely. If you don't know, Mitch Pinnock did a forward roll in the celebration after Kieran Bowie scored the equaliser right in front of the Cobblers away fans. It was beautiful. Absolutely lovely.
That was very Craig Revel Horwood of you there, Charles.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Big point nicked, said Bilsey. Yes. 11 points clear, said Shane. Another shout for Mitch's roly poly here from Rob Duncan. There were a few of these ones. I'm going to take the first one that comes into the timeline as I look at it. And that is from Karen. And it says, take a Bowie.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Nice.
Very
there nice. You go. Enjoyed it.
I
enjoyed
might
it.
Award that a very brand new award of three word review of the week.
Oh,
yeah.
Why not?
There you go. Are you going to give it just to Karen or to all of the ones that put that in there? Because I think Steve Scott also went with it.
Karen was the first one you read out. So Karen gets it this week.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Well done, Karen. Off days happen, said Matt. A point pinched, said Dan Darwood. Bucero, 16 points clear. Now, what's that? Is that 16 points clear of bottom? I don't know. I've not looked.
Let me do the mathematics while you're doing the rest.
Go on, go for it, Chaz. Very welcome point, said Stu. Shoe Armor USA, poor but dogged.
Nice.
That's a very good one. That's a very good assessment.
Emin said, could be worse. Certainly could. James, still top half. Patrick, bullet dodged. Check. I didn't realise it was going to be a bullet we had to dodge, but there you go. I like it. 2 points dropped, said Sir Pennies. And there weren't very many. I mean, I call it negative, not necessarily negative, that one. It's just the point of view of looking at it is, I suppose, that we were 1-0 up and possibly on paper should win that game. And then when you do go a goal up, you hope and expect that we go on to win it. But I think my argument would be, having been 2-1 down, it's a point gained. Just my...
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a point gained at the end of the day. From last weekend helped it to be a point gained as well.
Yeah.
To set it up. If we come on the back of it on a couple of defeats, then it's probably not as much, but I feel like it is. It's a step carrying on in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Carlin said, robbed the point. Happy with Desmond, said Tom. Ashley says, never gave in. Mark Josiah, equalising move orgasmic.
Oh, was on that as well. Jeffrey was talking about it a little bit before the break as well. I was literally sat there, just launch it. They're crying out loud, get it in the box. And then they've come up with this little move, like they used to do, like a patient movement to get it in. And I was, oh, brilliant, brilliant goal. Well done. Lovely goal.
I love that.
But it just proves that I talk nonsense half the time. And it is frustrating sometimes, but when they come up with something like that, and that's a brave way to play in itself in the last few minutes, just to stick to your guns and stick to what's got you to the dance. And
I think that shows to
pull that off.
That shows a really good character though as well, and that
it's
there's a real belief and discipline
within
the squad of, this is how we are going to win games or win points, and therefore we stick to our principles essentially. So I think that's a really good, really good positive.
Thing is, it's a habit as well, because if you start doing that, then you start doing it earlier and earlier in games and you start to get more desperate, and then you end up just playing games like that.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. Dave said, shared Cumberland sausage, which I enjoyed. Hornet Cobbler said, must park bus. Not exactly sure. Maybe that's because I didn't watch the game, but I'm not quite sure why.
I'd rather we didn't start doing that, though. We didn't do it against Fleetwood. We didn't really do it against Blackpool, because it was backs against the wall at Blackpool, but not in a different... That was in a different sense. I think, when you start parking the bus, that's habit. And you end up just sitting on a 1-0 and or a 2-1, and you end up losing it.
I'm not sure we've got a bus anymore.
I think
not even an open top one.
No, I think we've barely got... We could park a moped, maybe.
Nice. BJ Clark said, respect diehard 371, which is the amount of Cobblers fans that
Well done, team. That was a big excellent effort.
Yeah, brilliant showing just before Christmas as well. That's great.
Absolutely. Definitely. And then of course we end, as always, with Chris, who says,
come on, Chris.
12th stays up.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
It does, doesn't it? Absolutely superb. They were your three-word reviews. Thank you so much for joining in with the fun. Over on Twitter, every single week after a game, I'll pop out the three-word review request and then just reply to it with your three words that sum up the game and the result for the Cobblers. Perfect. We're going to take another break now, but when we come back, we'll be opening up our post.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Time now for us to dip into the postbag to answer the questions that you've sent in to us on social media and email at podcast@cobblerstome.com.
To the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. We're ready and willing to read out your scribbling, so get them all into the post. To the post. Get your comments and thoughts to the post. Put pen to the paper, do it sooner, not later, and get it all into the post. Get it in.
Is it Santa's Christmas post sack now, Neil?
No.
Oh, is it not?
It's not Santa's.
Is it Neil's Christmas post sack?
No, it's not. Not yet, Danny.
No?
Not yet. It's coming. But not yet. Do you want the first one?
Go on.
Read it.
It's from Brian Wills.
Go on, Brian.
So Brian says, I don't want to sound too defeatist, but it looked like 2 points dropped today. When we were on it, we played some lovely football. The second goal was a great example of that. But it felt like we came out in the second half expecting to walk it, and you can't do that in League One. We definitely have enough to stay up and more this season, but we need to earn it.
I'd agree with that last bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, there's definitely something in it that we came out and didn't expect. I think there wasn't so much we expected to come out and walk it, but we didn't really expect the Spanish Inquisition that Carlisle threw at us second half. And I think that's probably more the surprise to me. And like I said earlier, we've got to start learning how to get him in. We need to start learning how to compete with teams who suddenly change their intensity quite quickly. And I think sometimes we struggle with that.
Yeah, that's true. Just remember, Danny, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody.
We've got another one from Junior Sammons, Matt Sammons.
Go on, Junior.
Go on, Matt.
He, I believe, travelled up to the game from university. And he said, enjoyable day today. Far from our best, but I guess mid-table sides are always inconsistent. As some bloke behind me said, we'll beat Oxford 4-0 next week. One more night in Preston for Matt tonight, or last night, Saturday night, whichever night it was. He's had another night in Preston, and then he's looking forward to heading home from uni.
Does Preston know about this?
No, they are. I don't know. You're going to have to ask Matt.
Okay. He just stays there without permission. Is that what you're suggesting, Danny?
Yeah.
Matt Salmon squats in Preston.
You know, with
Preston's the one that walked off of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Preston. Yeah.
What's I don't it? Think
with
it's
both
the Preston.
Of those post bag entries. Have you noticed that there's a definite shift in mentality? So. Yeah. Matt said, I guess mid-table sides are always inconsistent. Mm. So he's looking at us as a mid-table side. And Brian saying he doesn't want to sound too defeatist, but it looked like it was 2 points dropped. I mean, that's definitely a shift in the mentality, isn't it, from where we were a month or so ago. Yeah. It's great to see that. Great to see it.
Yeah, it's important that we're realistic, though, as well, because we could very well lose the next two games, potentially three games, and then suddenly you're in a bit more of a scrap. I'm not suggesting that we will, but you do still have to be realistic that they're three really tough games on the bounce.
They're tough in an exciting way now, though, rather than a dangerous
way.
Yeah,
of course. Yes. Of course.
It's like, I don't want to say we've got a cushion, you know, it's a free hit, all this kind of thing, because I don't think it should be like that. But it makes it more exciting next week against Oxford now, rather than treacherous and like, oh, I can't, you know, this is going to be, if we lose, it's going to be a disappointment kind of thing. As a team, I think we should be looking forward to it and really going for it against them.
Yeah, I agree.
Get into them.
I agree.
Can I interest you in the final letter in the bag?
You can. Please do. Rip it open. Read it aloud.
You know how a lot of people have a creepy uncle that if you're at a family, you're at a family party and you should probably avoid Uncle John.
If you haven't Uncle got Michael one, you know it's you as well.
Yeah, exactly. If you haven't got one, it's you, if you're listening. So we have had a letter from the podcast's very own creepy uncle, Melbourne Cobbler.
He'll love that.
He says, "Dear Neil, I'm off to give my tri-monthly blood donation."
Does that mean he has it three times a month he gives blood?
He'd be dead, would he not?
Because surely that would just be surely it'd just be quarterly.
Yeah, it must be three times a month.
Three times.
Every 3 weeks, you'd be anemic. You'd be on the floor.
Hold on. He goes on to explain why.
Oh, go on.
He says, "The reason being, I have an unusual blood group and I'm worried if I have an accident or something, there won't be any for me." So essentially, he's giving his own blood regularly just in case, purely selfish reasons, just in case he has an accident.
I think it's every 3 months, not 3 months, not 3 times in a month, because I do think Melly would either be very unwell or unfortunately deceased.
It'd be very unmel.
Correct if we're wrong, Melly, but I mean, I don't know how Australians do it, but I'm assuming not 3 times a month, because
because Melly isn't Australian, remember?
But the people that are treating him are. I mean, Melly, that is commitment.
It's truth.
I think, can we just confirm, though, that essentially Melly is possibly the most selfish listener we've got now?
I mean, he's certainly showing his selfishness there.
He's giving blood. Great. It's excellent you're giving blood. It's a very important thing to do. Yeah. Giving blood for yourself, Melly.
Yeah.
How unusual is his blood group then? Is he literally just storing it up for himself? Like, is it that?
It
rare,
is very rare, group? Isn't sure. it? That type of blood.
How do you know what type of blood? He hasn't said what.
He just said unusual.
It's. Oh, let me Google it because it's going to bug me.
Oh, okay. Go on then. Google.
Rare blood.
I mean, if you're Googling right now, what is Melbourne Cobbler's blood type?
Okay, so it's AB negative.
It's the ABs.
But that's in England, no, so whether Melly. It's different in Australia, I don't know. But
I think, by the way, Melly could probably save himself probably a lot of travel time. I mean, I don't know how far it is from the blood drive or whatever they're called, but
blood bank.
Do it himself at home, have a little blood fridge or something.
Or like a vampire.
Have a little,
like Blade.
He's got 7 ovens, hasn't he? Wasn't he convert one of them into a fridge?
If you join Patreon and you come into our Slack community, you will find many, many stories about Melly and his 7 ovens.
I get the feeling he might not be a Patreon after this, though.
I feel like we might have offended him.
I'm just slightly concerned that Melly's giving blood 3 times a month. I just don't think that's humanly possible. Melly, can you please confirm this?
He is the palest man in Australia at the minute.
He is, to be fair, yeah. Is that the postbag done? I mean, I enjoyed that, if that's the end.
That is the
ending on a very non-cobblers-related postbag.
What actually was Melly's question?
Is he selfish?
Is he being selfish?
Yeah. Am I being selfish? Yes, you are, Melly.
Well, I'm just concerned for your welfare, my love, so if you just let me know.
I do respect him for it, but it is selfish.
It is a very important cause. If you can do it, you must do it, folks. It's very important.
I agree.
Saves lives. And if you do it, you get a snazzy little text from the NHS, if you're in England, obviously. You get a snazzy little text from the NHS saying where your blood's been donated, which is lovely.
Oh, that's very good. Postbag done. Lovely stuff. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Neil. If you've got anything cobblers related, that would be gratefully received. Podcast at cobblerstome.com, or you can find us on social media. Just search at cobblerstome. One thing before we move on to NTFC Women, who did actually have a game this weekend, which is great news. Just another shout out for the Castle Hill Food Bank. We mentioned it on last week's pod. You can still take your donations to the food bank, to the ticket office at Sixfields. There's loads and loads of stuff that you can take. It included things like After Eights and Pringles, lots of different bits and bobs. If you can, I know it's Christmas, I know it's hard, But if you can afford to do so, if you can manage to do it, and you can help out with some of the people that Castle Hill Food Bank help out, especially at Christmas time, it would be gratefully received. Just pop along to the ticket office at Sixfields and hand that in. Thank you very much to anybody and everybody who has already done so. And just a quick message to say get well to Liz as well, because I think I saw something earlier on in the week to say that she'd not been well. So hopefully she'll be back fighting fit, ready for Christmas. Danny, NTFC Women gave you a Christmas present this Sunday.
Yes. Finally in action. First game in 3 weeks. Away at Leafield Athletic. Leafield struggling this season. Came away with a 4-0 win. Not to be sniffed at all. Back in the goals. Back in the league and smashing it. Kim Farrow with a brace. First goal. Swept in from the penalty spot. Jade Bell got one just after half time to make it 2-0. Kim's got another one. I think she's missed a penalty and then followed it up, which is always good to see. And then Alex Dix rounding off the scoring. It's a lovely win away from home. A clean sheet for Holly Mayfield. We've got to mention her in goal, stepping in. Always difficult to replace someone who's as good as our very own Katie McLean, of course, but Holly did to keep a clean sheet is a cracking return from her. A fifth league win in a row. And even more exciting, fourth place in the table.
Amazing.
Leaped above Solihull and Sporting Calza to go fourth. And even more exciting, Loughborough Lightning, who were top, who were our top, lost at Baldermere St Michael's 2-1, which means we're 6 points off the top. Which, 10 games
big
in,
big win.
One more game and we'll be halfway. It might just be on.
Do you think?
I mean, I know Loughborough are a great side. We've got the Blue Slugs from up the road up there as well. Baldermere obviously going well. But it's all a little bit tighter than it was last season in terms of no one's properly running away with it. If we can get a couple of results against Loughborough, dang.
It's momentum, isn't it, as well? Because five on the bounce does a lot, doesn't it?
Just to be up there in the mix in fourth place and within touching, well, not touching distance, within 6 points of the top is a cracker result. It's brilliant. They're doing so well. And Jade Bell still, I believe, is top of the scoring charts as well. Excellent. Always good to see. And the Devs unbeaten still as well. They drew 0-0 at Leicester in the East Midlands Women's Regional Football League Division 1 South on Sunday. Still unbeaten for them. 0-0.
Fabulous.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Thank you for
old
that.
Jobs.
thank you very much for that update, Danny. That's brilliant. And that is it for this week. Don't forget, you can get more podcasts and stuff at patreon.com/cobblers2me, including the League One Lounge, where Danny and I go through the rest of the League One action. And you can join our community of Cobblers fans on
Flans?
Slack.
Blimey.
Flans. Yeah. We're back on Friday with the preview show as we look ahead to the game with Oxford at the weekend. We will see you then. Goodbye.
Take care.
Take care.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.